I'm sure it was. Hey, we're in lesson two in the book of Daniel, and actually it's the introduction book. And what I wanted to ask you, what is the main thing in the book of Daniel? When I told you last week. Say again.
God is the
overruler. God, the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of who?
Heaven and earth.
Men. That's the main thing of the book of Daniel, that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men. And as we looked at that, we also seen some key verses in the book of Daniel. Remember what it was? Chapter 2. For those taking 44 and 45, which demonstrates the goal of prophecy being to establish of the kingdom on earth by the God of heaven. So he's going to establish a kingdom on earth by the God in heaven. Now, as we left off last week, there's different things to remember when you study the book of Daniel. Now, once again, this is also the introduction part. And as you look at your testing questions and stuff, you are getting a lesson from GSB, Grace School of Bible. And I'm very thankful for that. And also, you'll have not only your interjections of studies materials, you also have mine. But look, Daniel is a real historical character who lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, was the king of Babylon. Now, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is, once again, we've got a long way to go, guys. And this is just some things to do. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of, was that Shinar? You know where that's at, by the way? That's another area for Babylon. Okay, if you look up Shinar, it's out there in Babylon, Bible, in that area. To the house of his God. And he brought the vessels of the treasures of into the treasure house of his God. Nebuchadnezzar takes children of Israel into captivity. And in verses 3 and 4, with Daniel appearing in verse 6, along with other children of Judah. Now, Daniel is a real individual who lives in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Why is this important? You're getting ready to find out why. Because I know, well, for years, the book of Daniel has been cast not into the lion's den, but into the critic's den. Now, you may not see this out front, but there's a lot of people that just don't believe the book of Daniel to be true. It's just a guy that wrote a book, that type of thing. If you've been studying the book of Daniel and read commentaries, a lot of them will tell you this. Now there's critics out there, and there's several names, but I won't, for lack of time, I won't bring it up. It says the book of Daniel is a forgery, and that Daniel didn't really write the book. And critics say that the book of Daniel was written about somewhere between 165 B.C., not 600 to 550 B.C., like you know it's to be true, but around that time. And it was written in order to encourage and to harden the loyalty and the faithful Jew who was suffering during the Maccabee period. Now, what do you know about the Maccabees?
The word of God for them. Nothing new.
Nothing new. See, there's books out there. Even the original King James has Maccabees in it. The Catholic Bibles have what? Maccabees in it. But you got to realize something. This God did not speak for 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, God did not speak. What do you believe about the Word of God? It's the inspiration, right? Of who?
God.
All scriptures are given by inspiration.
God.
Okay, he spoke the words, and men penned it. God did not speak for 400 years, but words was being penned. Mm-hmm. So who was encouraging that? Man was. That's why it's not in your Bible. And you can read what his, you know, all that stuff going on there. It's fascinating to read, but it's not God inspired. You with me? So this is what these critics are saying, that Daniel penned these books because of there in that period, the persecution and stuff of the Jew. And the time of that persecution, the nation Israel, which was called the Intertestament between the Old Testament book and the appearing of John the Baptist in the book of Matthew. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on there with the Jews is going out there dispersed around. They're being persecuted. And according to critics, in order to encourage the Jews that was enduring persecution, someone sat down and forged the book of Daniel. They believe Daniel was written with the ideal to encouraging the Jews to keep at it, faithful and not to quit. Now, I've got a problem with that alone, and you should too. If the nation of Israel was in Egypt under persecution for how many years?
400.
Over 400 years they was down there. And they had a book with them to encourage them to stay faithful to that the Redeemer was coming, which is the oldest book in your Bible, by the way, Job. Why wouldn't these guys believe Job? You know, why is Daniel has to write this time period? You with me? So they had the Bible out there. So these just people just don't think. 3 points that the critics use in questioning the Babylon dating, but 600 to 550 of Daniel. And this is what we're looking at. Okay, these are some things you may never come up against to you in your whole life. But when you start talking about the book of Daniel, a lot of people's going to give you your own opinion about it. You know, if you notice up here, the timeline is the prophecy program. Tom pointed that out earlier today. He goes, hey, you don't have it open up the mystery program. Well, it's coming. You know,
maybe the rapture happened.
No, but look, what, number one, the supernatural element of the book of Daniel. One critic states that Daniel is a fable that could not possibly have happened. The idea of throwing men into a fiery furnace is just a fable. A story told in nursery schools and kindergarten, but we adults know that could never happen. Okay? Daniel in the lion's den. We educated, sophisticated, enlightened adults all know that lions don't get lockjaw. Okay? You probably know that. You're going in a den of lions, you're going to get eaten. And that's the idea. And the book of Daniel is a superstitious fable that could not possibly have happened. Do you know the answer to that?
Hogwash.
There you go. It's hogwash. And that's just saying it bluntly, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't have to read all the critics' arguments about that point. There is no point to that line of thinking. You know what I mean? You just ignore it. Because, hey, there was one time, if I can remember right, and this question gets brought up quite a bit. It's the world that they knew it. Okay, you know, the gospel went out in the world that they knew it. Let me tell you something. There's a point in my life, I believe Noah's flood. I never had a doubt about that. But I always believed that it flooded in the world that they knew it. There's no way that they flooded Glade Springs, Virginia. There's no way that Appalachian Mountains that I was grew up on is a mile high that they flooded. But guess what? They did. It flooded the whole world. And when you go down in these caves and stuff, we go down into or even coal mines, and they got fish, what do you call them?
Fossils
underneath the ground, 15, 20, 500 feet. Something happened that just didn't just happen in the world that they knew it. So there's some things that I had to come to understanding, like he did flood the whole world. You know what I mean? And that's a belief in what you'd have to get out of the Word of God. You with me? So, number two, Greek words are found in the book of Daniel. And the idea is that the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, conquered the Babylon Empire is around 330 B.C. Now, these are great men, aren't they? And when we study a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar, he was just no little bitty guy. He was a mean, fierce guy that when he spoke, people moved. And he conquered the world. Now, look, that would mean that in order for Daniel to have Greek words in the text, Greece would have been already taken over Babylon Empire after 330 BC. Do you know how many Greek words are in the book of Daniel? How many? There's three of them. Three words in the book of Daniel.
And I'll
share with that in a little bit. How does this happen? Well, words of different origin creeps into your language. You ever notice that? You probably don't notice that.
Season,
yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. You know, and the people migrate from one country to another and bring those words with them. The great migration came from England and Ireland and all, you know, Italy and all that came into the United States, and they started going out throughout the eastern part of the United States, and they mingled with other people's language, didn't they? Now, no language is kept pure when it is the language of the people. You ever notice that? What is supposedly, which we don't have an official language in the United States, but what is the language of the people supposed to be?
English.
Don't we get influence with other? Yes, of course we do. Our own.
Hogwash and Scotia.
There you go. Exactly. Our own English language contains words of different origins: Spanish, Latin, German, French. For example, the words sinister and dexterous. You know what that means? What is sinister? That's what you say it is, but you know what the Latin word is? Left-handed.
Sinister?
Yes. Dexterous is right-handed. I'm dexterous. My oldest daughter is sinister. Sinisters. Now, you say that to somebody, guess what they're going to do? They don't know the meaning of it. You with me? We would think it's evil, it's sinister, you know, it's Satanist or whatever it is. Can't even say the word. But the thing is, you can get in trouble doing that. Can't you?
Which, did you say that was Greek?
That was Latin.
Latin.
Yeah, I'm just saying some of the words that's being influenced in our thing. Listen, point is this. If you can see how these words, three words, have gotten into that language, the text were full of Greek words. Excuse me. If the text was full of Greek words, you would think one thing. There's a guy named John Elkhart with his Bible dictionary, says the busiest commercial intercourse between Babylon and Greece can be traced a century before the exile of Israel into Babylon. Now, if you got a commerce and you got a world system out there, you're going to be influenced, aren't you? Where was Paul influenced? Where was the big metropolitan area in Paul's days? Corinth. And if he could get there and start have a church established, people's coming there, guess what? The gospel's going to go out. So the commerce is there, and you're going to be influenced at all times. Listen. Years and years and years ago. Well, let me share this with you. I got a phone call last week out of San Francisco, and he told me his name. He also told me he was a missionary. And he asked if this was Dispensational Bible Church. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'm a missionary from so-and-so. I said, well, I'm a little busy right now. And what he was doing, looking for money to go to Africa or something like that, wherever he was going. I told him, I said, we give money to Grace School of Bible each month, you guys do. And we leave it up to them to disperse where it wants to go. Listen, we sent people from our own schools and church and stuff like that to missionaries. We all done that. What better way is to stay right here and teach somebody from their land that they go back and teach? That's how it's done. That's the way Paul done. No, so he went out. But the thing is, Babylon and Greece had an ongoing commerce, so it's not surprising that few Greek words would have crept into the language. Now, the text speaks excessively about the Greek Empire in chapter 7, 8, and 9. But for your notes, but it's not the interest that no one of the Greek words in Daniel is found in this context. You can't find those words in there. You find them, there's three words. Does Howard know what they are or what?
Many, many, many,
No, it's not that. Okay. There are three words, and they're referenced to musical instruments. And if you want to write this down in your book, you find them in four verses, chapter 3, verse 5, verse 7, 10, and 15. So those Greek words that people say, oh, it's influence, it's only in the musical instruments. Now, you think about that for a minute. As my occasion, sometimes I do think, you know, musical instruments. What good is that? If you think about it, it's coming from a world influence, Greek. They like music. Latin like music, don't they? So anyway, that's what. Number three.
Chapter three, verse 5, 7, 10, and 15.
And they're all about musical instruments. Whether it's the harp or, you know, that type of thing. So there's where your Greek words creep into the book of Daniel. Not enough to, you know, say that it was influencing 30.
Is it one of those particular words like the dulcimer or the music? The
harp is one of them. I was looking at that as far as, you know, on my own. If you punch in the three Greek words in the book of Daniel,
yeah,
it will give you a list of those instruments.
Okay.
I can't read Greek. I can't speak
Greek.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21 through 45. Now, we're not going to read that, but we're going to get to that at one point. Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 45. If you look over his text, you will see prophecy about a vile person. And the king comes in and takes the kingdom peacefully by flatteries. Okay? And when you go down through the verse 45, you will see all the things that look like the Antichrist. You will see in the middle of the week in verse 31, the believing remnant in verse 32 and 33, the Antichrist on down through the battle of Armageddon in verses 41 through 45. And every book of commentary on the book of Daniel that you may read, the idea of this passage referenced to a man named, anybody want to take a guess his name? Antiochus Epi. I had this this morning. Epiphan Epidanius? No. Epiphanes.
What if his mother heard him right?
Thank you.
Okay. Epiphanes. Epiphanes. Thank you. That's good enough for me. Okay. So that's who they say that was in those books. And that guy's name came in and took over Jerusalem, destroyed the place, sat down on the mercy seat between the cherubims, and said he is God. Critics say that this is what Daniel was talking about. The idea is all this had to happen before it could have been written down in such detail to find it in Daniel chapter 11. So in other words, this guy did come in, okay, and destroyed Jerusalem and sat down and said, I'm God, during that time period. So the critics say that had to happen so Daniel could write it down. Okay, with me? And therefore, it would have had to have been subsequent history, and it had to occur around 150 to 165. There we go, back of that time period again. Now that guy, Antiochus, and his first name is A-T-I-N. A-T-I-T. I can't speak. A-N-T-I-O-C-H-U-S. Antiochus.
Antiochus.
Yeah. Did not come into Jerusalem and take over until before that time period.
But there's no mention of him in Dan.
No. So what does that get rid of? If he came in, let me say it again. That guy did not come into Jerusalem and take over until before that time period. What does that get rid of?
Revelation.
Or the other, what we're studying? Prophecy. It gets rid of prophecy. So Daniel is not talking about this time period over here. If it gets rid of, it's already happened. With me? Okay. What is the problem with prophecy?
Problem with prophecy?
With it, what we're talking about here. Okay. Number one, this prophecy has nothing to do with this guy we're talking about. And we will see that when we get there in the study in chapter 11. And this guy does not appear in the book of Daniel at all. So there's nothing that matches him to the book. So all the hallucinations that you get out there get started just by not being careful. Hey, we're studying to show ourselves approved. Many of us has been led and guided like sheep to slaughter. Yes.
So are you saying that Antiochus Epiphanes is the world system trying to distort the book of Daniel being God spoken?
No, this guy here, if he came in there, Daniel don't talk about him at all. He came in there at 165, that type of area. You with me? So they assume that. Well, in order for that to happen, Daniel was writing about that. So the time period of Daniel wrote the book, that the history was going on in 165.
They're saying he's actually writing about the past and showing those things.
Yeah. Thanks, none of these three reasons are very sound, guys. You study the commentaries. If you study the commentaries and study the books and you hear people say that Daniel was written late, much later than where it's at, this is the kind of evidence that they have for it.
Really no evidence.
No evidence at all. Listen, you need to be assured to know that Daniel is an historical person. And what the critics say is disrespectful towards God's word grounded on unbelief. Listen, you know people today will try to tear a King James Bible in half. You got people today will uplift other versions other than the authentic word of God. You got people say prophecy has already been fulfilled, or prophecy is going on now, or they don't even understand the mystery program. So if you give credence to this in order to look intelligent and smart and big before the world, you need to forget about that. You need to humble yourself and say, Daniel is a book of God inspired. Is written in a time where it's supposed to be written, and you need to stand for truth, and God will stand by you. You with me? Now
Jesus
the book. Well, we're getting ready to look at that. That the book of Daniel is hated, and it's hated by scholars and textual critics, and many textual critics are not Bible believers, guys. You look at some of these people; they're not even saved. Wouldn't that be the first thing you want to know? If hey, what do you trust to be?
Yeah.
Well, if they're not saved, how in the world are they going to tell you anything about what's in the Bible? The reason they hate the book of Daniel is because it's prophecy. The natural man, remember this, the religious system does not know what to do with prophecy. So what do? They make movies about it. They go on tours. The world wants to know about prophecy, don't they? The natural man wants to know, but let me ask you this. How can, you know what he can't do? He can't handle it. If I can tell you with authority, based on God's word, where you're going to go when you die, am I prophesizing?
No, because it's fact, isn't it?
But think about that just.
Sure.
In a sense of the word, you are. If I can stand up here and say, I can tell you without a doubt where you're going to go when you die. That's a sense of prophecy. So if you think about that, you're not a prophet. You're prophesying the word of God. And the natural man does not want anything being authoritated, and he don't want to tell. He don't want to know where he goes when he dies. Listen, I've been toe-to-toe with some of these got people. They don't want to know. And they couldn't care less where they're going. But put them on a deathbed, and their last words, they don't want to die. They're fear of die. If you're saved today, you should not be fearful fearful of where you're going to spend eternity. Amen. You should not. It should not bother you at all.
Doesn't that knowledge kind of debunk the religious system of having us, those folks that don't know, still need the direction and need to come and need to support and need to profit that religious system? So the simplicity of the truth kind of distorts all that stuff going on up there. That'd be another reason I mentioned that.
Well, prophecy is God telling you what is ahead. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at some wonderful things. And I want to get some of this behind us a little bit today. It ain't going to snow today, is it?
No.
Okay. All right. Look, now if you want to see if Daniel's a real person, go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Get Ezekiel chapter 14. And let's see if we can find the other one. Well, get Ezekiel 14 right now. Go back one book. Ezekiel 14. We might get through this one right now. Pick up the number. Ezekiel 14. Chapter 14, verse 14. What does it say?
Though
these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should be delivered, but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. Okay, look. How many men do you see right there?
Three.
Okay, verse 20. What does that say? Through Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it as I live. What do we know about the book of Ezekiel as we saw last week? It's a what kind of book to Daniel?
Prophecy.
A contemporary. Okay, of Daniel. He lived at the same time Daniel lived. He came from the same country Daniel came from. Ezekiel is a contemporary of Daniel, talks about Daniel. And chapter 28, go to chapter 28. Chapter 28 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 3. Ezekiel 28, verse 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Who is he talking to about that? Who is he talking to that's wiser than Daniel? Look at verse 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thou saith the Lord our God, because thou have lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God. Thou shalt sit in thy heart as the heart of what? Who is that?
Satan.
Who's going to sit in the midst of the seas? Lisa says he is. Satan, the Antichrist, Satan. What did that verse say? Who's wiser than Daniel?
Satan.
Listen, guys. Was Satan there after creation? God created Satan, Lucifer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did Lucifer not see that God spoke creation and see that he... These people that tells you that this mystery program was hid back over here in the Word, that they didn't know it, you should look at them and say, Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
No.
Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, because you have no idea what you're talking about. I got an article from a guy that sent me a message, asked me to look at it. He's got the body of Christ starting with Adam and Eve.
Oh, I haven't said. Well, they're looking forward to the cross.
Yeah.
None of them were looking forward to it. They didn't know about it.
But what I'm getting at, if without going too far ahead, this guy right here is wiser than Daniel. And Daniel's pretty wise. Daniel's foretelling people some things. So if you think the Word of God, this mystery program was hid in the Word of God, you're just fooling yourself. Don't entertain that, because who? Satan would have picked this up.
Yeah, who would have found that?
You know, by 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, if the princes of this world had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. They had no problem with putting him to the cross, crucify him. Because why? The principality of the air still had control of the heavens. Mm-hmm. He'd have gave up the earth. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Chapter 28, Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Ezekiel identifies Daniel as a well-known public figure with notable reputation for righteousness. Chapter 14 is righteousness. Chapter 28 is wisdom. Daniel know these things. No, Daniel know a lot of things. Daniel is an authentic person of history, as Job and Noah was. Do you believe who Job was? How about Noah? I shared with you a while ago. Well, I believe Noah flooded the earth that they knew it. Those guys are real, right? Why isn't Daniel real? Real. Well, yes, he is, if you're a Bible believer. The law of authenticity in any courtroom in the land is that this kind of written testimony from the contemporary witnesses is binding evidence of who that guy was. So you could take those verses in a court of law, and guess what they would do? They would stand up who they was, or who Daniel was. And it would prove the witness that Daniel is a historical individual based on the contemporary written a testimony of Ezekiel. Now, a lot of people probably won't even believe that Ezekiel is real. You know? So you can chase. The fact that Daniel is historical, you must remember that these people, that because people will try to convince you that it's not true, now you may not have any, you know, run-ins into it. But when you're out there talking, you're talking, going to talk about the book of Daniel to people, just listen to what they have to say. They may bring up everything what we're talking about in front of you today. Oh, but he's not real. Oh, but he's just a fictitious person. Listen, you know who Josephus was? Well, let me ask you this. Their internal motive is to get rid of prophecy. They don't want to be told that it's coming down the pike. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and notice the New Testament confirms it. By the way, you know who Josephus was?
Historian.
You have books? Do you have his, any of his books?
No.
He's got three.
I was going to say, I read one, I think, in high school.
Okay, all right. Okay. That Josephus. There's three of them there that I like to have for my birthday. No, just joke. Anyway, look. You notice I was looking at her. I
I'm taking the hand.
Look, Josephus, you'll find a very interesting little thing about Josephus in regard to this. When Alexander the Great came in and took Jerusalem, the high priest went out under a white flag to meet Alexander. This is Josephus' account. He was a historian. He showed Alexander, according to Josephus, a copy of Daniel chapter 8, where Alexander is prophesied and clearly identified. Alexander the Great was so impressed with the witness of the prophecy of the book of Daniel that he spared the city of Jerusalem being ransacked by his armies. He entered it peacefully and went up and worshiped at the temple. Josephus says the book of Daniel was the whole book, a part of scriptures and a canon by the time Alexander the Great took over the city of Jerusalem.
Contemporary?
Thank you. Witness. There's another witness. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, talking about the half hall of fame of faith. Look at the very last part of the verse. Stopped the mouth of what? Who do you know did that?
God. The Lord did.
Not only God, but who? Daniel did. It's talking about Daniel stopped the mouth of my life in chapter 6. Hey, Daniel is a real person who lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. The reason that is important because people try to say it isn't true. They question and deny the authenticity of the book by coming up with late dates. Daniel is a contemporary of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel identify him. Remember that. Keep that in mind. Two, Daniel is also known as a what? If you're going to prophesize, what do they call you?
Prophet.
A prophet. And that is, and this is a real person. The reason people don't like him, because he is a prophet. Hey, you know Muslims today don't have any... they don't really have any ill feelings to the Lord Jesus Christ of being a prophet. You know that?
Right.
The Son of God is where they draw the line. They'll cut your head off. Okay? And people don't like Daniel because he is a prophet. Prophecy is a special quality of the Bible that the natural man detests. Number one, the natural man can't do that. You can't prophesize and be, as the Word of God. Listen, if we could prophesize today, and we're, a lot of us Cleveland Brown fans, we done had them winning the Super Bowl. But look, number two, the natural man hates the authority of God over him. Always remember that. When you're dealing with people, you're dealing with saved and unsaved. You're dealing with those in Adam, those in Christ. You're dealing with a natural man. Natural man don't like what you have to offer spiritually. Till he comes to understand who he is, and then hopefully he won't. He doesn't want anyone telling him what to do, and he wants to run everything. What is the middle letter of sin? I'm going to run it myself. I'm going to be the master of faith. I'm going to be the captain of my soul. Many of us can beat our chest and probably been there. So the natural man wants nothing to do with prophecy. Prophecy says, and what's the theme of Daniel? Prophecy says that the Most High God rules in what? In the kingdom of man. We're in the times of the Gentiles, people. The Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile. There's darkness out there. And the whole issue of the natural man does not like that. We'll go to Matthew chapter 24 right quick. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 15. Notice how Jesus Christ identifies Daniel as a prophet who predicts things that was going to happen then or in the future. Matthew 24. Hey, we spent how long? We spent 2 years, maybe, in the book of Matthew or longer. Sherry was sharing with me, she's talking to some guy about studying Bible. He goes, you was in there for how long? You know, when we talk about how we study the Bible and how long it takes us, sometimes people just don't understand that. How in the world can you do that? Well, I think it's exciting. But we was in Matthew for a long time, and what do you know about the book of Matthew, guys? It's a book about who? A king. Now or future ages to come? Man, you got to remember that. Things that's going on, he was lining it up and putting them on the mount and telling them what's going to happen. It was going to happen right over here. Ages to come. It didn't happen when he was walking this earth. He said, this ain't, it's ages to come. In Matthew 24, verse 15, he says, when ye therefore... 24, 15. When notice what Jesus says, identifies the prophet. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel who?
The prophet.
The prophet. Not Daniel the historian. Not writing about something that has already taken place in history. But Daniel who?
The prophet.
The prophet. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him what? Okay. What is the word readeth?
When you
read,
quote scripture out loud.
Quote scripture out loud, or
it's not identified. We talked about it earlier.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the scripture.
You gotta
read it.
Okay, you're getting bits, but what are they readeth?
The Bible.
Daniel, yes. They're actually reading a copy. They have a copy of the book of Daniel to read. So it's not no fictitious paper. And it's copies. In fact, they had great multitudes of copies of the book of Daniel for people to what?
Read.
Not to people to put up in a glass case and you can't touch it. Not that I'm going to read it for you. You don't need your book. I'm going to do it for you. It's for the people to read. This is God's design of preserving His Word, guys. He's got a unique way that He's going to preserve His Word, unlike what you and I can preserve. Listen, I've got stuff packed away that I packed away many, many years that I was going to get. It's not preserved too well. But you can preserve books in a good way, right? If you don't watch what you put up, dust gets on them books. But they have copies and copies. And God wrote it and preserved it down through history in multiples of copies. And these people can read what Daniel wrote in what? The originals?
No.
There's not a person today got an original copy of the Bible. We have copies. And that's why manuscript evidence is very, very important to understand where that scripture manifest came from. The King James, 99% of the majority text is your Bible's made up of. The other ones is less. Minor texts. It's just mind-boggling. I want the truth. Listen, I've been lied to about all my life and still being lied to. So I'm not going to be lied to out of the Word of God. It's up to me to understand that. And Daniel is a prophet in the passage here predicting from Daniel chapters 8, 9, and 11 about the abomination of desolation. That's what he's doing over here. And Daniel has written down in his books about some things that is going to happen in the future from where Christ was. Christ is over here. And he's talking about a future from where Christ was over here. And what did Jesus tell him to do? When you read it, the book of Daniel, you're going to know what's going to happen. Fascinating. And Daniel, you have to understand, is a part of the prophetic program. He's not part of the mystery program. He's part of the prophecy program. And you understand there is a predictive event that some predictive things will take place also in dispensation of grace. You know, there's some things that have been predicted or has been predicted for the dispensation of grace.
Sure.
But you're not going to find it in the prophecy program. For example, look. The crucifixion of Christ occurs. You can find that. Christ dies. And then ascends. You can find that prophecy. Then the Holy Spirit comes. And then the fall of Israel. But look, in the dispensation of grace, okay, in the dispensation of grace, there's things that Paul's epistles, they are prophesied. And if you think about it, Paul predicts that they're going to take place for the body of Christ. First, you may believe it, you may not. But there's going to be a catching away, the rapture of the church. He predicts that. He predicts Christ coming back for the church. Okay? He prophesies that. He's coming back to get you. The judgment seat of Christ is prophesied. Now, mind you where I'm at now. I'm in a dispensation of what?
Grace.
Okay? And when you're telling, when you're speaking God's word and you're prophesying this is going to happen, and you can still prophesy in the mystery program. You with me? It's not found in the prophecy program. At the judgment seat of Christ, he prophesies. He tells you what's going to happen. We, the church, are going to the judgment seat of Christ and judge for the rewards for our service on earth. Then, after that, we appear for God the Father in heaven. And then after that, we'll come back out of the heavenly places and take our position in heavenly places. These are things, are future events. You're still here today. But where's your hope at? Yeah. Your hope is to be called out of here, as you said earlier. You don't want to take that dirt bath. There's none of us wants to take that dirt bath. But once we do, we know what God says. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will rise first. Don't get jealous for them. Don't sorrow over them. You know the verses over and over and over. But look, there are things in the future from where we're at today that are predicted, that are part of the mystery program. And this program that we are is called what? The mystery. Okay? I'll close with this. There's another program in your Bible. It's called what?
Prophecy.
Thank you. Prophecy program. Prophecy fits in time past prior to the crucifixion of Christ. Now it refers to the dispensation of grace. And ages to come fits where? On the other side of dispensation of grace, after the catching away, the rapture. And times past is the prophetic program. Ages come, its prophetic program resumes. The dispensation of grace interrupts that program, guys. I think many of you know that. God's postponed. You got verses over and over and over there. And then the second coming of Jesus Christ comes back to earth about his kingdom and about Satan being bound. Where's that taking place? Ages come. First his coming of Jesus Christ is prophesied. Was it not prophesied that he's coming, Jesus Christ? You know who else was prophesied that he was coming?
John the Baptist.
That's right. Amen. John the Baptist prophesied. The crucifixion of Christ on the cross was prophesied. It's not a mystery program. It's no mystery he was going to come and die. He was born to die. Genesis 3:15. And Daniel stands back and looks down and he prophesies about events that's going to take place before the dispensation of grace times past. He also prophesies events going to take place after. But he didn't know this.
No.
He didn't know the dispensation of grace. He didn't know the mystery program, guys. And to understand prophecy, you have to understand the mystery program. You with me? And then understand the mystery program, you have to understand the prophecy program. It goes hand in hand. I'm going to spend the rest of my life, Lord willing. I don't want to say the creeks don't rise. You ever heard that saying? You know what that's from, don't you? Can I give you a quick history lesson? Okay, William Harrison, he was out west, a little bit further west out here, Tippecanoe and Tyler too and all that's going on. And he told the people in Washington, D.C., if the Lord's willing, the creeks don't rise, I'm coming back. The creeks was the Indians. It's not that the creeks is going to rise up, I can't get across the bridge. It's the Indians who's rising up. So, if the Lord's willing, then the politicians don't rise. Just joking. But I want to spend the rest of my life to understand what's going on in this dispensation of grace. And in doing so, you'll be able to help, and I'll be able to help a lot of people coming down that pike. There's a lot of questions out there that's confusing people. You ever notice that? No, you probably don't notice that. We do. And you got the answers. You have a completed canon of Word of God that shares times past, but now. Isn't that made clear? Isn't that really open up your mind on some things like, wow, only God could do that? All we have to do is acknowledge it and say, it's so, God, whether I agree or it don't matter if I agree or you agree.
That's right.
God said it. Father, once again, thank you for today. Thanks for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.